Question. Which are the choirs of the third hierarchy? Answer. The remaining ones, namely, virtues, archangels, angels. Question. What is meant by the term virtues, or why are those angels so called? Answer. By the word virtue is meant innate power or efficacy. It is thus that this third hierarchy of angels represents the acts of God towards individuals. Those works of God which surpass the power of man, as miracles or inward movements of grace, we say are done by virtue of the Most High. With a certain appropriateness, then, comes up the statement of St. Thomas, who attributes to the virtues the motion of the heavenly bodies and their order, these being so indefinitely beyond man's power, and thus forming, moreover, a connecting link between the duties of the heavenly choirs which they have preceded, and those two that are to follow, namely, archangels and angels, whose special mission lies with man on earth. The virtues then hold an intermediate station between heaven and earth. They immediately succeed the powers who typify the majestic judicial power of God taken universally. This third hierarchy represents that power as embodied in individual acts, and to the first choir in the hierarchy is assigned the heavenly bodies of the visible creation. Sun, stands thou still on Gideon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. The duty of the virtues, then, is to praise God because of his ineffable condescension and regard of each heavenly body, and to reveal that condescension to the inferior ranks of angels. Question. What is meant by the term archangel, and what by angel? Answer. The word archangel means great or high angel, and the word angel, the generic name for these glorious inhabitants of the heavenly Jerusalem, means a messenger. Their name is given them because of their being employed by their Most High Lord and ours to bring messages from heaven to earth, and to carry the prayers of the faithful on earth and lay them before God's throne in heaven, and because also they are sent, this is a theological word, to conduct human souls to the portals of heaven. The title angel, inasmuch as it is the name of an office, is common to all, but is appropriated to the lower order, because it is these that are generally sent, according to Bonaventure. To archangels is assigned the special protection of the church and its several subdivisions into national churches, countries, and communities. Thus again and again in the Old Bible we read about the angel of the Jewish nation, "I will send my angel before thee, and he will precede thee and prepare thy way." And hence popes and prelates and those in authority are said to be under the guidance of archangels. In this manner, the higher grade of archangels represent the higher degrees of providence shown by God towards individuals, whether these individuals be men, as a bishop, cardinal, pope, or countries or churches. And thus also, as men in authority on the earth come next to the celestial bodies, so the order of archangels, coming next to the virtues of heaven, follow immediately and are in due order subordinate to them. Their office is to praise Almighty God for the vouchsafing of special providence and to reveal these to the other angels, with the angels as being, if so it might be said, the lowest grade in heaven, lies the intercourse with human souls and, some have thought, with the animal and material world. And their office is to praise God for his watchfulness over even the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, and to whisper thoughts of such watchfulness in the minds of reasonable creatures, and thereby lead them to praise God. Thus, all the heavenly bodies are images of the divine attributes, most closely resembling and most especially representing some, but yet beautifully shadowing forth, as far as creatures can, all the limitless perfections and the unspeakable excellencies of the inconceivably one God. How appropriately, after this, we read in Genesis, "Let us make man to our own image and likeness." And the triple hierarchy of angels were like to him, to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So should man be like to the triune God. And God created man to his own image, and dominion and ruling and power he gave him. Increase and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and be master over bird and beast. It was one of the points of the ancient belief that God governed the world, even the material world, through the agency of spirits, to each of whom he was pleased to depute certain offices. He made use of the good angels to maintain order in general, to watch over empires, to protect men, and bear down to them his blessings. He permitted the evil to prove men, as appears in the history of Job, and to be the executors of his justice. Everywhere Scripture recalls this wonderful ministry of the angels, and there is not an epoch of time at which such a tradition did not exist. The Gospel shows us the Savior himself tempted by Satan, and narrates many of the wonderful cures of possessed persons. Our blessed Lord teaches us that little children, dearer to him than even to their own mother's bosom, have angels appointed them as their guardians. Such and so great is a human soul in the eyes of God. All the heavenly spirits are ministers, according to St. Paul, and God sends them to aid us in securing our salvation, to defend us against him who has been a murderer from the beginning, and who wanders about like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. We have to struggle not alone against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against those who have dominion in this world of darkness, against evil spirits scattered in the air. Faithful depositaries of ancient tradition confirm by the teaching of Jesus Christ, the fathers of the Church, with an unanimous voice, tells us that the providence of the Most High is extended to all things that exist, and that it makes use of the ministry of angels for the carrying out its designs. They govern the universe and preserve it. They preside over all the elements, the stars in the heavens, the productions of the earth, fire, wind, seas, rivers, lakes, as well as over living beings. They present to God the prayers of men. Associated with the Most High in his vast administration, they contemn not any of the duties he entrusts to their charge, and each one confines himself to his own duty alone. Thus speaks Justin, Athenagoras, Theodoret, Clement of Alexandria, Gregory of Nazianzen, Origen, Eusebius of Caesarea, Jerome, Augustine, Hilary, Ambrose, Chrysostom, Cyril, and the angelic doctor Thomas. Bossuet says, "We see, before all things in this divine book, the Apocalypse, the ministry of angels. We see them coming incessantly from heaven to earth and returning again. They bring down, interpret, and execute God's orders, orders for salvation as well as for punishment. That is what is meant by the saying, the angels are ministering spirits sent for the ministry of our salvation. From the very earliest ages, the ancients believed that angels interposed in all the actions of the Church. They recognized an angel who intervened in the oblation and bore to the sublime altar of Jesus Christ, an angel whom they call the angel of prayer, and who presented before God the petitions of the faithful. The ancients were so touched by the ministry of angels that Origen, who ranks justly among the sublimest of the theologians, publicly and directly invokes the angel of baptism and recommends to him an old man who is going to become an infant in Jesus Christ. There can be no hesitation in looking on St. Michael as defender of the Church, as he was formerly of the Jewish people, once we read St. John Apocalypse chapter 12, which in this case is conformable to that of Daniel chapter 10 verse 13, 21 and 22. Protestants, who by a false imagination conceive that whatever is given to the angels or the saints and the accomplishment of God's work is so much taken from God himself, look upon St. Michael in the Apocalypse as Jesus Christ, the Prince of Angels, and apparently in Daniel, the Word, eternally conceived in the bosom of the Father. But have they ever had the right spirit of the Scriptures? Do they not see that Daniel speaks of the Prince of the Greeks and of the Prince of the Persians? That is to say, without any difficulty, the angels whom by God's orders preside over these nations, and that St. Michael is called in the same sense the Prince of the Synagogue, or, as the Archangel Gabriel explains it to Daniel, Michael, your Prince, and elsewhere, more expressly still, Michael, a great Prince who is established for the children of your people. When I see in the prophets in the Apocalypse, and even in the Gospel itself, this angel of the Persians, this angel of the Greeks, this angel of the Jews, the angel of little children who advocates their cause before God against those who scandalize them, the angel of fire, of water, of even the stars, and when I see among these on one who lays on the altar the celestial incense of prayer, I recognize here a species of meditation on the part of the angels. And I see even a foundation of the mythology of the pagans, which peopled the elements with their divinities and laid kingdoms under their special protection, for never was there a religious error that was not founded on some truth. Let us quote Cicero. The existence of good and evil spirits who concur in carrying out the designs of God, though in an opposite and contradictory manner, and who are, as it were, the instruments of providence in the government of the universe, even in the material world, the immortality of the soul, and the state of happiness hereafter, all these beliefs, as ancient as the human race, belong to the universal tradition of man. End quote. A writer of wonderful research, Huet, proves that belief in the existence of angels is found among all peoples and in all lands, that the Greeks received this belief from the Egyptians and the Phoenicians, and that all antiquity has recognized the existence of spiritual beings inferior to God, and created to preside over the order of nature, the stars, the elements, the generation of animals. The world, according to Thales and Pythagoras, is full of these spiritual substances. They believe that the angels floated in the sky and in the air. They divided them into two classes, the good and the evil, the latter of which was subject to the former. Plato, according to the Plutarch, speaks of a prince of an evil nature, who is over the spirits that were chased by the gods and fell from heaven. The belief in angel guardians, or good spirits, destined to protect and watch over man from his cradle to his grave, was no less ancient nor widespread.